Welcome to episode 9 of Words with a Wise Guy. And as you can see, I'm sitting here with two very impressive looking athletes. This is Jamisa Sano. Sorry. It used to be Jamisa Milton. And so it has recently changed. And then Skylar Arneson, you still have the same last
name.
Yes, sir. so thank you for that. The last time you might have saw them, if you're a fan of our track and field program, was broadcasting the American Athletic Conference Championship last year. We're going to talk to them about throwing all sorts of things. But to throw it back to that, what were your guys' impressions of the American Conference Track and Field Championships last year and your role in it?
That was pretty crazy last year. It was fun watching all the throws. I know they had a couple gigantic throws out of the women's hammer, and it was always fun to watch. And I know the competition we had at the MVC a long time ago wasn't as good, so it was a lot of fun to see a little more close competition.
And was it different being an announcer following that way rather than watching it as a teammate or as a competitor?
It was being different. I mean, I couldn't cheer on as I wanted to, but it was really exciting to have the crew there and filming as well. That was amazing.
Well, you guys did a great job, and it really, I mean, enhanced the production. So hopefully we get you guys to do it again this year. So
I'd love to. It was a lot of fun.
So Jamisa and Skylar are Highlands Games competitors. And if you're not familiar with the Highlands Games, let's explain exactly what the Highlands Games is. So who wants to start off with maybe the history of it or exactly? We're throwing things is what
yeah,
we're doing.
Definitely.
And just kind of like track a little bit.
Yeah.
And the field, obviously.
Right, more the field.
Yeah, the field and track. So what is the Highland Games for people that don't know? And then we'll talk a little bit about each one of you, but what is the Highland Games?
Well, basically, it is the training system that the Scottish had invented so they could still be working out when the British were controlling Scotland and England back when William Wallace was doing all his stuff. It actually predates the modern Olympics.
What's the movie William Wallace and
Braveheart?
Braveheart, yes.
Exactly.
Braveheart.
Yeah, they're throwing the big stone at him. Yeah, it's exactly the same kind of
were
stuff.
Did they have like a hammer kind of thing with the, on the, what was that called?
That was a mace. I think he was spinning around smashing the guy in the face with
it. Yes.
Can't do that in our games. Yeah, basically that's how it started. And the longer it went on, they were just trying to pay homage to the people before them, and so they wanted to keep it and make it more of a competitive event, and so they just kept implementing different events, and now we have 9 that we compete here and 8 that they compete over in Scotland.
So the United States has a different competition than in Scotland?
Yeah, they just add the sheaf toss, which is a 20-pound burlap sack that you stick on the end of a pitchfork and you throw it as high as possible.
Okay. And is the men and women throw the same weights, the same event? No. What's the difference in women?
In the women, it's, 10 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the sheaf.
And are all events like that? Do the women throw a lighter than the men?
Yeah.
The men's, like in our sport?
Yeah, the men's lightweight. Or the stone or the hammer or whatever is, they're heavy, and then they have a step down for their light event also.
Okay. So before we get in more into that, I want to let people know about who you are a little bit. Skylar, how long have you been throwing in the Highland Games?
In the Highland Games, that would have been 2013, so this is my 6th year competing.
6th year. And both of these athletes were Wichita State track and field throwers.
Mm-hmm.
And did you start throwing immediately when you graduated from Wichita State, or were you throwing before while you were on the team, or when did you get started in the Highland Games?
I actually got started when I was at Hutchinson Community College. When I was over there, I met one of my friends over there. She competed forever, and so she got me into it, and I always wanted to try it. They had a games up in McPherson that I always heard about, but I never got up there to compete in. And so getting up there to compete and just have a little fun, when I got up here, I used it more as a cross trainer, so I could still throw over the summer and still try to be semi-athletic.
So, and then Jamisa just started this year.
Yeah, this is your first year.
Yeah, and so how did you decide to get, because you had taken off a year, maybe?
Yeah, taken off. Skylar actually convinced me to get back into throwing. I denied him for quite some time.
Took a lot of convincing.
Yeah. Well, obviously you've taken to it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So you got into it, Skylar. You've had a lot of success. Without bragging, I know you're not a humble guy, but you won a world championship already. Explain the level that you're competing at and what's in the future for you in terms of the Highland Games.
Well, for here in the States, we have our amateur rankings and our professional rankings. So right now you have your A class, B class, C class. C class guys have never thrown before, haven't done anything. You got your B class guys who have done a couple games, but they're still not to a decent level. Then your A class guys who are decent and they've thrown before, they know what's going on. Then they have a step above the A's, which is your super A's, which is the step right below the professional class. And so that's the class I'm in, and it's basically throw the same distance as the pros, but they're not as consistent doing it, so they can't turn pro yet. And so that's where I'm going to this next April, is trying to turn professional and trying to get paid for having a little fun throwing some stones.
And you won a world championship over in Europe.
Yes, sir.
And where all did you go when you were competing in those?
Well, it actually was a World Series, so I got to compete in the World Championships in Brescia, France, which I actually got to throw inside a castle wall. And it was built, how'd they say it? It was built 200 years before Columbus even came over.
Wow.
It was built in like the 1200s and said we were living in caves when they were building this castle. So that was the World Championships in June. Then July was Wolf Wills, Switzerland, another leg of the World Series. And then we ended it with a team championships in Fifor, Norway. So I got three competitions across, all paid for, and just had a good trip.
And there was a series and like a scoring compilation, or how did they determine who was the champion?
Yeah, they compiled all your scores from each games. For the Highland Games, to see who can win, normally it's first place is 1 point, 10th place is 10, low score wins with all combined events. With how they did it for this, they did it the opposite. So you won how many people you got, 10 points per event, and they totaled it up at the end of the competition, in the end of when we were in Norway, and saw who ended up winning. And I ended up winning that one also. So I was a world champion and the World Series champion.
And so they're throwing eight events, and it's kind of like a decathlon in a way,
yeah,
where you got to win or got to do well on a lot of the events, and the most points at the end of the multi
exactly
competition wins.
Yeah, yeah. So I had the gentleman who took second to me in all the competitions, he actually was beating me in like five or six of the events, but the stones were my best event, so I won those two, and he took like sixth or seventh in those, so he couldn't fight his way back.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you got to be pretty consistent to be able to be good at this.
And so, Jamisa, you just started and broke a world record.
Yes.
Now, how many world records do you have?
I got one.
You do?
Yeah, what, I got an amateur world record.
Amateur world record, okay.
Yep.
And so then what is the world record that you have?
I have the women's world record in the lightweight weight.
The lightweight weight.
Lightweight for distance, yeah.
Name all the events. Let's start with
these. So you have...
Can you name all the events?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go back and forth.
So you got your two stones. You have your Braemar stone, which is a standing throw. Mine is...
How heavy?
Mine's 22 pounds,
okay,
up to like 27, 28. It's supposed to be 22, but it's whatever stone
it's
they
whatever
find.
It's whatever you find.
Exactly, yeah. Semi-round and oblong or whatever it works. Then you have your open, which is a 16-pound for me, like an
wait a
eight
minute. I'm going to go back. So is there a guy that walks in with a 20? Everyone throw the same stone?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought
definitely
maybe like you had yours and he had his. And it's like,
yeah,
man, that wouldn't be very fair.
Yeah. Each place you show up has their implement that everyone has
I
to throw.
It. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So next one.
Yeah. So Braemar's a standing throw, can't move. You have your open throw, open stone, which you can glide, spin, shuffle, do whatever. Mine's 16. Hers is like 10, 12-ish.
Yeah.
Again.
Okay.
Kind of like the shot put in
exactly
college.
Yeah, that's what those are. And then weights.
Then we have the lightweight. Women's lightweight is 14.
And that's the world record
that
you set?
Yes, that's the
world
record that I just set. And then we have the heavyweight, which for the women is 28.
Which is our lightweight.
Okay.
And our heavyweight's 56 pounds.
56 pounds.
Yes. It's
okay.
Terrible.
And is it, how do you, what is it, a handle on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That little weight that I have over there is our lightweight.
Oh, okay.
It's a round handle. You hold on to it, and it's like discus and hammer combined.
Okay.
So you do two spins, and it's a sprint across and a big finish. But, yeah, it's odd, but, yeah, it's weird.
We'll have to do some show and tell here in
yeah
a little bit. Okay. All right. So that's four or five?
Yeah, four.
Okay, four.
We got the hammers.
hammers.
Yeah, so you have the heavy hammer, which is 22 pounds, 16 for her, and then the light hammer, which is 16 pounds for me, which is what I have my record in,
okay,
my world record, and hers is 12. Yeah, 12 pounds for theirs.
Okay, that's six?
Yep.
What are the last two?
Then you have the caber, which is the tall
log-looking
foam pole.
Yeah. And how long is that pole?
It varies from any games, but the longest one I've ever gone after is 23 feet long, and it was about 125 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But the length is the more difficult part because you have to get it going, actually get it flipped.
Right.
But I've thrown 160-pound, 18-foot just – it was a telephone pole. They cut down and just brought it here. Like, try to throw this. Like,
I might be able to throw a pole vault pole that
way. Right. Yeah.
And then what's the last event?
Sheaf.
That'd be weight over bar.
Oh, weight over bar. Yeah. Wob.
So is that like when they throw the keg over the thing?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's just
the strongman competition.
Yeah.
And then the burlap sack.
Yep.
Yeah.
That'll be our ninth.
Nice. And why doesn't Scotland do that one?
Because it's an Irish event.
I see.
Yeah, they don't like it. But that one comes back from all the farmers trying to pitch hay into the upper deal. So that's how that one started. And they just had a competition out of that. But
so who throws in these competitions? Are they track people? Are they like some of these events are like in the World Strongman competitions when I used to watch on ESPN? Or who are the people that are generally making up the competitors?
You have a lot of people. You have a lot of the women and men that done have a background in track and field as well as weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
That's majority of the women. And then you just got the people that were talked into doing it.
Yeah. Just like get like a real strong guy from the country that's you know, done a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a couple out in California that I've thrown with that have never thrown anything formally other than the Highland Games, and they're actually really good because that's what they want to train. They're just a bunch of big old strong boys that figured out they want to throw something.
So you all through college implements and college track, do you think that you have an advantage that you have a background in throwing?
Definitely.
Compared to some of the other people?
Yeah, you got to know how to move.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people, they're strong. They're way stronger than I ever can be, but they're really uncoordinated. Yeah. So they try to hold, even holding a shot put against your neck compared to a stone or what these guys can do, they're like trying to hold it here or behind. They just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So even just the basics of like middle school track will put you ahead of most of these people out there.
Are there more men than women? How is there a lot of women competing in it, or is it
right now,
how many people are at a competition when you usually have a competition?
It just depends on
the competition. Where you go.
Yeah.
The last competition I went to, there were 70 total.
Okay.
Men and women.
That's a lot.
Which that's a lot for around.
That's
here.
More than track meets have a lot of times. Yeah. So my next question would be, what if you did Highland Games? Well, you did it earlier in your career. Would it have helped you become a better track and field thrower, or does it not relate as much when you go back and forth? You know what I'm saying?
It does. I mean, that's why I was trying to get her to do it in college.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would use it because, I mean, the hammer especially is all special strength because it's a standing hammer throw. You have a 22-pound hammer. You're spinning around your head. You can't move. Mm-hmm. And so it's all core. It's everything you have to be able to move that thing. So, yeah, the weights, the hammers. Now the caber is definitely not something you're going to do for track and field.
Right.
But
I think we should make that a new event at the KT Woodman.
Yes.
I think we should put it right out there in the middle of the field. Right down the javelin, right down
the
middle.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
That'd be awesome. We'd get a big crowd for that, I think.
Oh, you would.
So I was at a press conference last week, and Coach Rainbolt was talking about the cross-country team and some different things, and I think he was talking about you guys. Do we have that audio, Kurt? Yeah, maybe we can play that and listen to Coach Rainbolt.
This is a really cool deal, man. I keep track of how these athletes are doing. I see these upper-level results in the Highland Games competitions, and Jamisa is brand new to it. I've been seeing Skylar do it for a couple of years now. But and obviously, how exciting for that guy to be right at the top of the world as a Highland Games competitor. But Jamisa, brand new to it, I saw a video of her world record throw, and it was super impressive. I know that those two athletes are really, really talented and upper level athletes that have that type of potential. Jamisa Milton is a marvelous, you know, powerful, explosive, dynamic, athletic girl, and I am really happy for her, but wasn't particularly surprised. I watched the thing, and I thought, well, there's Jamisa throwing. I mean, throwing hard, getting after it. I was impressed because it was a one-arm technique, and I thought, man, she's picked that up pretty quickly. A dramatic change in her mechanics. That's not easy to pull off, but it's a testament to her athleticism. She's an athletic gal, man, and so I thought it was great.
It's kind of cool. I don't know. I didn't know if he was impressed or not. It was tough to figure out if he was. He kind of expected you to break the world record, I guess.
Yeah.
So, who had the world record? Who had your previous? Do you know who had them before you guys broke them?
I know Nathan Burchett actually had mine, which was the brother of the gal who got me into the Highland Games. So it was a pretty good connection there.
Nice. And how about yours?
Alyssa Harbner, and I actually throw with her. She was at the games when I broke the record.
And so was she upset with
no,
the record?
No.
Well, that's all. So what's next for you two with the schedules coming up or the years coming up? What's the next step in your evolution as you're progressing?
Right now it's off season, so it's just working out, lifting.
And just trying to get better?
Yeah.
And when he was talking about the different levels, what level are you competing at as well? Like he was like C.
See, okay, that's different.
This.
With the women, it's such a new group of women actually being really, really good. Most of the time they would have the group and they would just have the women throw and they would just be there. Mm-hmm. But now they got a bunch of track and field people coming over into where they're actually throwing some amazing results. They have like the top 10 list. They have like a top 100 list or whatever, mm-hmm. but the top 10 are the elites. And so she's in that group. And so this next season with her breaking the record and her doing really well, she's technically going to be a pro next year. She should be moved, but they call them elites because they don't have a quote unquote pro circuit like they do for the men.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still
it's coming.
Yeah. It's still really new for the women, man. They're all coming up. It's mm-hmm. really, really big coming right now for them.
And then, so you're, Are you turning pro, or what's the timetable for what you're doing next?
Yeah, actually, it should be in April I'll be turning pro for my first. They have a pro-am up in Nebraska that I'll be competing at. I've done it for the last couple of years as an amateur, and I know the athletic director up there, and he should be getting me in as a professional.
Awesome. So are there little people, like in terms of skinny people throwing? Are there
actually? Yeah,
it brings out all kinds.
Definitely.
Of like
there's a lightweight class for the women.
Oh, okay.
And the men.
So how was the smallest person? There's a like distance runner looking people out there.
Almost, yeah.
Like, can Kurt get out there? And
yeah,
just
oh yes,
him?
Yeah, definitely. Let's go, Kurt. Come on,
smaller than him.
Yeah,
I think you should have a 5K / caber toss or whatever that is.
You have to carry the caber the whole way over.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, Kurt.
Maybe it could be a relay, and they could like as a team.
Oh, there you go.
And then they
hand
all
it
throw
off.
It. Yeah. So. You mentioned some of the places you traveled around the world. Where are some other places that might be in the – is there World Series next summer, or are they change every year? Do you go to the same places, the same castles? Like, are you – what's the competition schedule like?
This was the first year for the amateurs to be able to have a World Series. So next year it's just being dialed back to one World Championships in Norway for the amateurs. But the following year should be like five or six, I think. He's trying to tell us, Francis Brebner is the chairman of the IHGF, the International Highland Games Federation. He's the one who puts on the World Series, and he comes around here and helps us out, too. He was talking to me. Sorry, I was talking to him.
We're talking to each other.
Exactly, of course. But no, he was saying the next couple of years they're trying to get like five or six locations for the amateurs to be able to go to, and then hopefully – though should be getting the pros back into that. But as of now, it's just more local in the States and be going up to Alaska. Hopefully I've been contacting ADs up there. It's a beautiful location they have up there.
I bet.
Yeah. They got a bunch all over and hopefully I'll be able to travel. I know she will be. Everyone's going to be chomping at the bit to get her.
And are you excited to start doing that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm already getting offers going to different places.
So are you guys going to make like $1 million next year?
Oh, God, no.
Like
I don't know about a million.
Is this professional Are you guys having to do another job, or how do you balance? I know you're doing another job. I was kind of joking, but like, how do you balance training? You have a new addition to your family.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Sleep, throwing. How do you balance this? When do you find time to do it? And you know, I'm sure there's not too many people that can just do this for a living, right? They're just
In like the past 15 years, there's been about two men that have been able to do it because they were so dominant in what they're doing. Right now, Spencer Tyler is down in Texas, and I think he might just have a part-time job at a gym, but he's the number one, and you won't beat him in the next like 5 years. So he has the ability to go out and do whatever games he wants and get paid really well for it. But other than that, you got to do another job and try to figure other things out. That's why she was saying you're working out in off season. I'm not. I'm trying to sleep as much as I can with that little one. But yeah, it'll come back around.
And so what do you guys do for a living in the while you're not throwing to help?
I just got a new job, so I am a case manager for TFI Family Services. We work for DCF.
And so when people get out of line, can you bring in a little weight and threaten to knock your head off?
I'm working with children now, not adults, so it's a little bit harder.
Yeah, you can't do anything like that. So, and what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm working at Tennyson Sheet Metal. I'm actually working the shear over there, so we're cutting down all the material, making gutter and downspout and stuff for roofs.
And can you get some training benefit from some manual labor kind of work in that kind of deal?
Definitely. There's a lot of grip strength involved because it's all 10 foot by 4 foot, just metal sheets that we're hauling around all day. So my grip has definitely improved and actually been able to be a little more relaxed when I'm holding on to these implements instead of straining real hard and just be more relaxed and easy with it.
So you guys keep in touch. I know you guys were at the conference track meet last year. Have you been following the track team? Are you guys keeping in touch with Coach Hetzendorf? I know he follows you guys and he's sending us messages all the time. Who's coaching you, or you know, or what's your relationship there with you're coaching yourself?
I'm coaching her. I'm coaching me. Yeah, a little.
Skylar's my coach.
Yeah.
My boss is actually a professional, so I train with him every once in a while. Show him videos. He gets me going on the right path. And it's a lot of stuff by yourself though, because it's not a team sport anymore. And so you're having to go out at 4 o'clock in the morning trying to lift and throw or doing whatever you can. Now that I got her, maybe I'll be able to get some help.
Right.
But yeah, past few years it's just been me out in the parking lot throwing some stuff.
Yeah. What else would you like to throw that you can't throw? Is there something you'd really like to throw? If you could add one more event, you could add a 9th or 10th event. What would you want to throw?
Tire? Well, they actually had the World's Strongest Man when it first started.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but no, they do have a world record for a person toss, so we could. They actually have like a midget toss world record.
So you need to take Kurt because he's a little guy.
Exactly. Yeah, we can go out there and measure him out, put a nice little suit on him, and chuck him.
So when you're over there in Europe, you got to be meeting all kinds of interesting people.
Yeah.
And having interesting experiences over there. What were some? Give me a story that's worth broadcasting. That's, you know, PG-13 that you experienced while you were over there with all these people that just throw things all the time.
Yeah. Well, there was actually a woman that was helping us out all day, and we met her that first day we were there. We actually got to do a little. Demonstration for like 300 school kids. They all brought them out. They were all trying to learn English. The French don't like any other language other than French. So a couple of them, they brought out the school kids and we were showing them what to do, and she was helping us out. She didn't say a word to me all day. And we saw her over there, and a couple of my guys that I was sitting with said, she's going to be helping us out this week. I was like, oh, cool, yeah. And I made eye contact with her, and she just walked directly to me, didn't say a word, and just got that close to my face and kissed my cheek. I was just, she didn't say hi. She didn't say anything. And then she turns to everybody, oh, bonjour, bonjour. I was like, okay.
Why did she do that?
She was just saying hello to everybody, but apparently she forgot to say hi first when she walked towards me. I was just, I don't know what's happening, but okay.
So that's all you had to look forward to.
A bunch of random people kissing you.
Yeah. Well, it is cool that you guys get to do this and hope to see the world, and I don't know, maybe take your families. I mean, is that something that, I know you went by yourself more this summer. Will you try to take your significant others and family members as you maybe start traveling, or maybe they have been going with you.
Yeah, my husband's been traveling with me.
Yeah. So it's, you need like a PR agent, and he can be like your...
He thinks he's my manager.
What about you? Are you going to take the little one sometime?
Yeah.
How long before he starts throwing? Is he throwing things around the house right now?
Or? Oh, he's trying to, yeah. Anytime he gets that binky and he doesn't want it, he just throws it away. So it's real fun already.
Can you like put a pencil in his hand and he like, hey, throw it over there.
Make it a caber toss. Yeah. Actually, we have a kilt for him already. My mother-in-law made one. It's really cute.
Speaking of, you guys are wearing kilts.
Yeah.
Can we stand up and see this within the camera maybe? We can...
Curtain, move a little bit.
See exactly what the uniform is and explain why you wear what you wear. Maybe that'd be a part of the history that people don't know exactly.
Skyler, explain.
Well, I know all these designs, and you see they're called tartans. And so it's your clan. It's like your clan's flag. And so they would always wear it so they would know where they came from. And people who would say, oh, you're from here, I hate you because this is your family. Or, hey, you're a friend because I recognize your flag, your tartan, your what you need to do. Yeah, and then all
so
the shirts is just what they give you.
Why the colors and the different things. And
yeah.
Sport kilt. Okay, so
it's where you can buy your kilt if you want a kilt. Check out Sport Kilt.
There you go.
High quality stuff right there.
You got the commercials already down. Here's explain what these are.
Okay, that's my lightweight for distance. That's the 28 pound.
This is my heavy.
Yeah, that's her heavy.
Okay, how far have you guys thrown this?
My PR with that is 83 and a half feet.
Wow.
And my PR is 45.3.
Okay. And is that one of your better events?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah, for both of you. And is it similar to the weight throw indoor? What is it close to at all? Is there an event that's closest to a track event? This one.
It'd be the hammer. Well, the stones would be.
Yeah, like shot put.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, the hammer, that's what I have my world record in. That's a 16-pound hammer, and I threw that 146 feet, 11 inches.
And you throw it from the hold the very end?
Yeah, you hold on to it. Instead of a handle where you do for the track and field, it's side by side. You have a bunch of tacky all over your hands and get stuck to the thing. Yeah.
I think I saw when I saw your world record, it looked like you were just throwing in the middle of a field.
Yeah.
And in track, we have all these contraptions to protect people. You guys have nothing to protect anybody.
In the hammer, we do have a contraption.
Okay.
Yeah, you have a cage in the hammer.
I'm just waiting for like a 27-pound rock to hit somebody upside the head. That would not be good.
We actually got a guy. He got hit with a hammer a couple of years ago.
Is his name Larry Staten?
No. Oh, okay. Not this time. No, it was actually pretty good, though. The lady who was throwing hit the ground, and so when she tugged on it, it got stuck in her hand, and so it zipped off real wrong, and the handle went and slapped him across the nipple. He was black and blue for 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So if somebody wants to start doing Highland Games, how do they start? Where do they go? Because one thing I've noticed is hard to find information on the internet. And I've heard that's maybe part of it. It just, you know, it's kind of like there was no internet in the olden days. And so it's a little bit of tradition that way or whatever. But if somebody's sitting there listening and they want to start throwing, where do they go? How do they start?
You can go on to NASGAWEB, NASGAWEB.com. It'll have all of our results for each of the competitions. It just takes a couple weeks for them to put it on there, and they usually have upcoming events and different things that you can get into. And here in Wichita, we actually have a competition in April. I believe it is the 29th of April, but it's going to change by the time it comes up. But and then in the fall, we have one also in the end of September. So we'll have them here if you just want to come out. It's at the Renaissance Fair here in town at the Cedric County Park. So just show up, sign the waiver, and go.
So maybe like if you guys are on social media, you could tell them where to follow you, and I'm assuming you guys would announce that kind of stuff if somebody's interested.
Yeah.
How do they find you guys on the internet? Social media, do you have
I use Facebook a lot, so just look up Jamisa Sano.
And then I know you're on Instagram.
Yeah.
You're very active and social media.
Yeah, I kind of need to be. I mean, that's the thing with the Highland Games also. It's self-promoted. With me, she's just awesome, so people love her already. but to get into the
professional... Well, she is like three times more attractive than you are.
At least. Minimum of three. But no, for the Highland Games, like, athletic directors, they invite people they know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't, if you're not known, if people don't know what you throw or who you are, that's why, like, off season, that's all I'm doing is reaching out to athletic directors, trying to get them to know everything. So me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, I'm just sending videos or saying, hey, I did this. I'm this world record, this world champion. I have an ability to do something good for you. Mm-hmm. Let me come to your games. So it's self-promotion, a lot of it. But it's if they want to follow me on Instagram, it's sky6093m. That's me.
And 6093 is your Hammer PR?
No, that was what my goal was for JUCO. That was like a centimeter under 200 feet. So I knew where 200 was. I was just obsessed with that number all through JUCO. Mm. I went 60, 55.
They measure things in the Highland Games in feet and inches? Or
they do here. When I was over in Europe, it was all meters.
All metric.
Yeah, which was confusing because it wasn't far distances. I can go from like 55 to 65 meters and tell you exactly what it is in feet.
Right.
But you start going like high jump, we're going 18 feet. I don't know what that is in meters. I have a video where I freak out and I'm so excited and wait over bar because I thought I hit 18 feet and it was 16:10. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But everyone's like, oh, that was amazing. Was that a PR? I was like, how high was it? It's like, oh, no, it's like a foot short.
What's the most popular place for the Highland Games in the world?
Scotland.
Scotland?
Yeah.
And
definitely.
So what kind of attendance is there? What kind of crowds do you see at those competitions over there?
It varies from place to place, but I had a couple buddies go over there and compete this last summer, and they said they can get anywhere from 1,000 people to 10,000. When we were in France, at Brugere, France, when I was competing in that castle, we actually had 7,000 people watching us. Wow. We had a gigantic crowd. They said there was like 25,000 people for the weekend for like 7,000 at the most at one time, and they thought I was awesome for whatever reason. Like they liked me, and so I might have thrown terrible, but they went insane.
Why would they like you? Let's evaluate this, Jamisa. Like, what is he doing to make people like? He's got to be acting goofy.
He's always acting. Yeah. Doing something, whether he's jumping up in the air, doing the splits.
Can you do the splits?
I do toe touches. Yeah, that's my celebration. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they caught a good picture of me, like, full split. Like, she was down on the ground, so it was up kilt and everything.
I bet you we can find that.
Yeah, we can.
On your Instagram.
Yeah. It's on Facebook right there.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just full of energy.
Yeah. Well, you gotta promote yourself.
Yeah, you got to have fun. They cheered once for me, so I was like, oh, my turn.
So can we make Wichita the capital of the Highlands Games for the United States? Or where is there a city where it's more popular here? Or is it just kind of in little pockets?
It's pockets, but, I mean, they have your big games. Pleasanton, California is a massive game. They have they actually throw the caber on a horse track, and so they have, like, 6,000 people sitting in the stands watching. They know who you are, and they know what's happening. Then they have for the Loon Mountain is another one. They have 10 to 20,000 people
Loon
out there.
Loon Mountain.
Yeah, it's out in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah, it's literally on the side of the mountain. It's a beautiful area, and it's all green and lush. But 15 to 20,000 people are out there watching, and everybody will know you. If you're one of the pros out there, going to be her out there as an elite, they will know exactly who she is. She'll be signing autographs, doing everything else. And then
the game's in Florida.
Yeah, they have the I can't remember the name of that one, though. Either way.
East versus West.
Yeah, but they have the Scotland versus USA down there, too, but the title of it is different. But they have a big games down there. It's the North-South for the men. It's the top five amateurs from the North, top five amateurs from the South. They have the East and West for the women, which Mississippi split.
Okay.
But it's a big games down there, and that's a bunch of amateur stuff there, though. But the other ones are big pro games all over.
And are they centered around festivals? You mentioned Renaissance Festival. Are they generally like that, or are they the standalone competition? Generally, you know,
it depends.
Yeah,
I've been to two thus far that it was centered around a festival.
Okay.
Lots of good food.
Yeah, I think that's where track and field, where we mess up, is we, you know, a lot of places track meets are big festivals.
Yeah,
like in Europe especially, they're, you know, the big events, and we don't always tie the event with the competition, which sounds like the Highland Games is doing a pretty good job with that.
Oh yes, yeah.
We get a good group. I think I've had more people watch me in the Highland Games than I've had in track and field combined.
I agree.
Yeah, we'll I come agree. Out here and like we'll have three people and they're my family.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's exciting. Congratulations for, you know, all the success already. World record holders sitting here already. And, you know, professional, heading towards the professional ranks, and it's we're excited. You know, you heard Coach Rainbolt talking about you, and so we're always excited about our alumni that are doing so well. I don't know if you guys watched the New York City Marathon on Sunday, but we had a couple of our former athletes do really well, Alafine Tulliamuck and Kellen Johnson. Were you guys teammates with Alafine or Kellen?
Nope.
They were a little before you. I think Kellen was maybe 09, and Alafine was like 13 maybe, so maybe right before you.
Now, we were at JUCO. I graduated JUCO in 13, so I would have been here in 15 since I – yeah, grades.
Okay. Well, I remember going and seeing Skylar throw Nickerson High School.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yep.
And I went out to Newton?
Heston. Yep.
Heston High School. And I just remember his coach looked like the dude from the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
And then Skylar threw, and one of our guys, Tyler Goldsmith, who's our school record holder in the weight throw, threw. But yeah, I guess he needed to study a little harder in high school.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyways, Alafine and Kellen did well. They were the second and third Americans. You know, they're two of the best marathoners in the United States. And I think Coach Rainbolt had some comments about those two as well.
NCAA Division I college track and field is unbelievably great. But we're still talking about young athletes within the context of those that decide to continue. The development after college is remarkable. Kellen Johnson was third in the NCAA in the indoor mile run, and she ran a 4:34, if I remember correctly, and only got beat by two girls that have to be in the conversation for two of the finest female distance runners in history. They ran 4:29. It was an unbelievable race, and Kellen's so much better now. It's unbelievable.
So anyways, that's pretty awesome, Coach Rainbolt's comments about them. And, you know, as you maybe you guys can talk about what it's like being done with college track and field, which Alafine and Kellen both were too, what it's like to be on your own, what it takes to be self-motivated. You know, it's different when you're not part of a team. You don't have everything given to you or everybody checking on you. How do you guys maintain your focus as you're, you know, going through this post-collegiate world of throwing?
I would say just setting goals. That's how I've been motivating myself thus far since I started in what?
In
August,
3 weeks, right?
At the end of September. Yeah. No, beginning of September.
Very new to it. Yeah. You've been doing it for a while, so how do you get up and get out there and get motivated? And, you know, is it just something you just love to do? Is it, you know, what? It's hard after college when you don't have a scholarship and you don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Don't have anyone telling you be at practice at 2 o'clock.
Exactly. You don't have a team meeting to yeah. listen to Coach Rainbolt
oh,
talk.
Oh, darn.
So how do you get motivated?
Oh,
what motivates you?
Well, it was actually the ability to turn pro. And this last year was that World Championships, since I actually had the opportunity to be flown for free 3 times to Europe. So I was like, I can't go over there and embarrass myself, embarrass my country. So I was up about 3:30 every morning trying to get out there and start lifting, and I would throw after work. Now it's just going to be a little difficult trying to find time with a little one. But yeah, it's a lot on self-motivation, and it was difficult. A couple of years ago when it was just me, I was in between coaching when I was at Hush Community College, coaching over there. So I was still around the track element. I was good. I had that 1 year. That was the difficult year because it was the first year out, but you still wanted to be able to win. You knew I had the ability. I was close on all the events, so I knew I had to just get out and just do a little bit more. Like she said, goals, but I mean, it's you got to get out and do your own thing. Because, again, it's just you by yourself throwing. So
is it harder with a family or harder, like, do you have more motivation to do well for them? Like, what's the balance? Like, how do you deal with all the things you got going on? You got, like, 10 things going on at the same time.
Yeah, well, I haven't had to yet just because right now it's all baby. Since it's our off season, we haven't really had to do much. And he is so young. He's just eating and pooping, so there's not really anything else I can do with it. But hopefully here in the next few months, I'm trying to do indoor season to try to help prepare for next year.
Inter squad in 1 month.
I'm doing that one. I'll be there. Yeah, but hopefully here in a little bit, he'll be actually sleeping, and we actually can let him sleep through the night so I can get up when I need to and actually start training again. But until then, I'm just being a dad.
So you're gonna some indoor track. What about you? Will you do some track events to get kind of just kind of stay in touch with throwing?
Yeah, I think I will.
I know that the inter squad draft is tomorrow, so no one is ever worried about the gray squad with you guys. But I know that you guys will come back and kick some butt.
Yeah, we got our throws, and then after that, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it's a little easier to kind of keep that going after college than it is to run some 60 meter hurdles.
Yeah. Oh, as Nikki ate crap the last
Taylor. Time.
Taylor. Okay.
Yeah, Taylor. So speaking of throwing things. I don't know if you guys saw the cross-country team had the conference cross-country meet this past weekend. Solid competition, but we had one athlete in particular, Ethan Kossover, who was running about a mile into the race, got stepped on, and his shoe was coming off, kind of ripped his shoe, and he takes it off in 1 mile into the race, 5 mile race. And so he's running with one shoe on, one sock over here, and he's holding his other shoe in his hand, trying to figure out what to do with it while he's in the middle of a conference cross country race. And he decides to throw it off because he doesn't want to stop and put it on. It's kind of ripped up. And he runs the last 4 miles like that with one shoe on. And he was our third runner at the AAC cross country meet. And so shout out Ethan Kossover.
That's impressive.
Mays South High School.
There you go. Goodness.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how, I'm still thinking of this 5K throwing thing, how we could throw things within it. You know, maybe like people could throw at the 5K runners.
That could be something where. Yeah. There you go.
Kind of like that's going to be a medieval kind of a thing. Where people are throwing at the runners.
Right. Well, I mean, they do have like a
zombie run. If you survive, you're the winner.
Right? They have like that zombie run, so instead of zombies, it's just shot puts. I'll just throw it at
you. I think this is a Wichita State fundraiser. We got
here we go.
Starting to figure out here.
Liking this.
We always end with some thoughts about movies. And I'm trying to think of, are there movies where they're about throwing things? And I couldn't find much about movies where they throw things, except for maybe like a tantrum or something. But there is a movie called The Room, which is one of the worst movies ever made. It's famous for being one of the worst movies ever made. And if you go to the movie in person, they do showings, like midnight screenings around the country. And there's a part where you see like I think a spoon or a fork on the wall, and you throw spoons or forks at the screen.
Oh, gosh.
So while you're there, you're throwing. That's the only thing I could find that has to do with throwing. There's really not a lot of track and field movies about throwers. They're always about distance runners or something like that.
But you do have Mac Wilkins is in Pre.
He is. He has a small part. People don't even know how good that guy was.
No, they have no clue that he was throwing world records right after college.
So the cool thing, speaking of Mac Wilkins, you started saying Al Order.
Yeah.
Probably because Al Order has our stadium record in the discus. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, Al Order was a 4-time gold medalist in the discus, I believe.
Yep.
And so there's a picture in Coach Rainbolt's office of Al Order throwing that throw, which is pretty cool. So,
and that's actually his PR, 227 feet, I believe it was.
Yeah, yeah, right out here in the throws field at Cessna Stadium.
Big history out here.
Awesome stuff. Well, hey, thank you guys for coming by, educating me and hopefully everyone else about the Highland Games. Look for them on social media if you want to check them out. Come out to our inner squad meet on December 6th. You can talk to them and ask them about the Highland Games if you're interested, and see a lot of great track and field. And then hopefully you'll see these two doing some track and field reporting for us. I know we have the KU, K-State, Wichita State Triangular on January 18th that we're talking about broadcasting. So that'll be a good way to kick off our indoor track season. So thank you guys for coming, and thank you guys for watching and listening. And big shout out to Kurt Ryerson pulling double and triple duty over here today for the podcast, and all the guys at WSU TV for letting us do this every couple weeks. Thanks a lot.